At CIT, we believe in turning your ideas into outcomes. Whether you're growing your business, building your savings, or seeking that next equipment purchase, we're the bank for you. Bank like you. Visit CIT.com, member FDIC.
Here's your money briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen at the Wall Street Journal in New York. How is it possible that someone could be taxed at a rate above 100%? That would happen under the tax plan put forth by Democratic presidential candidate Elizabeth Warren. We'll ask tax reporter Richard Rubin to run the numbers. First, some money and market news you should know. American consumers are entering the holiday shopping season willing to spend, but cautious. The Commerce Department says that purchases at restaurants, stores, and online rose 0.3% in October over the previous month. Economists say that isn't a particularly strong number, but it shows that consumers are unlikely to struggle heading into the end of the year. Spending on big-ticket items in October was mixed. Vehicle sales were up 0.5%, but furniture and home furnishing sales dropped nearly 1%, the biggest monthly decrease since December of 2018. Airlines are feeling some lift from a strange new accounting rule. Typically, airlines lease gates and ticket counters at airports, and they have to list those costs as liabilities on their balance sheet. That can sometimes put airline bond ratings at risk. Well, now under new accounting rules, airlines don't have to list airport lease liabilities, and that makes their balance sheets look better than they would otherwise. And in many cases, carriers are enjoying extra leeway to rack up debt without risking a downgrade to their bond rating. The Wall Street Journal has calculated that for Delta, the accounting rule allowed it to buy a 20% stake in Chilean airline LATAM without its debt profile rising to a level where its rating could be downgraded.
MUFG, a global financial group with over 360 years' experience, has spent that time building businesses, communities, and some of history's greatest achievements. We're helping to build today's biggest breakthroughs grounded in our tradition of financing innovations for today and the future. By investing in talent, technologies, and tools that put our clients' changing needs first, MUFG continues to stand apart and propel business forward. Learn more at MUFGAmericas.com/innovate. MUFG Bank Limited.
Democratic presidential candidate Elizabeth Warren has put forward a tax proposal to pay for her Medicare for All health care expansion, as well as new education, housing, and other programs. And Warren says that plan leans squarely on the wealthy. In fact, the Wall Street Journal reports that under her plan, the federal tax rates on some multimillionaires and billionaires could rise to above 100%. How's that possible? Let's bring in Wall Street Journal tax reporter Richard Rubin for some answers. So, Richard, have we ever seen federal tax rates above 100% before?
Not quite like this. And it's really the combination of two things that she's doing, which is really raising income taxes somewhat within the current system that we know, and then layering on top of it this new wealth tax that would apply every year. And so the way you get to 100% is you think about the amount of income or gain in wealth that you would have and what one's tax bill would be. And the tax bill is larger than what your gain might be in a bunch of different circumstances for very wealthy people.
Now, if tax rates actually did wind up exceeding 100%, would taxpayers in that bracket actually wind up paying at that rate?
They could. I mean, look, there'll be all sorts of attempts at tax avoidance, but if they did, they certainly would pay that. And what would happen is, and this is not an unintended consequence of the plan, it's a feature of the plan, which is that their fortunes and their wealth would shrink unless they had really large investment returns. So if you have sort of an ordinary 2 to 4 to 6% return on your investment every year and you're a billionaire under this proposal, you will have more taxes than you're gaining, and therefore your wealth, your fortune, will shrink every year.
The level of taxation in Warren's plan, it might sound radical to some, but it would actually narrow the gap between the U.S. and other industrialized nations, right?
Yeah, the U.S. is a low-tax country. We're an even more low-tax country than we were before President Trump took office because of the 2017 tax cuts. And this would sort of push the U.S. in more of a direction toward places like Canada and France and Germany that are similar in terms of their developed status, but just larger, have larger social programs, larger welfare states. They as opposed to what Senator Warren's proposing, those countries tend to use value-added taxes, taxes on retail sales and business activity to fund broad social programs. So they have taxes that tend to be somewhat regressive, that tax middle-income people to pay for programs that benefit everybody. And Senator Warren has a little bit of that in this employer piece of her healthcare plan, but broadly, and what she's trying to do is the opposite of that, is to have broadly applicable social programs financed almost exclusively from the very top.
But not every component in terms of what would be taxed is fully known in her plan, right?
Yeah, there are obviously some details we don't know. And look, it's a campaign. That's the way these campaigns go, is they put out some detail, but they're not putting out legislative text. They're not filling in all the blanks. But we've got enough sense of where she's trying to go. And I think it's worth looking at where she's trying to go on the capital gains side of things. Right now, you only have to pay capital gains taxes if you sell an asset. And that means that you can have virtually no income taxes if you don't sell. If you are Warren Buffett and you accumulate large piles of stock and you just don't sell them, you're just not triggering income and triggering taxes. And what she would do is change that. She would raise the rates on capital gains. And then she would also say that you have to pay every year regardless of whether you sell or not. If you had stock worth $1 million on January 1st and it's worth $1.5 million on December 31st, then all of a sudden you'd have that $500,000 gain would become income, even if you haven't sold anything. And so that's obviously a dramatic change in how we tax, but it really goes after some of the ways in which very high wealth, high income people don't pay taxes now.
Now, Warren's plan is raising significant questions like, would wealthy taxpayers change their behavior if Warren's plan was actually approved?
Yeah. So if you need a higher rate of return in order to keep your wealth, right, everyone, then what would you be incentivized to do? If you need more than a 10% rate of return to basically stay where you are in terms of your fortune, would you then go chasing a 15% return? Would you move to something safer and say, you know what, I'll let the government deplete my fortune away? We had a story a couple weeks ago too about the incentives for charitable giving. If you know the government's going to take 2-6% every year of your net worth, then you're incentivized to give money away sooner rather than later before the government takes a piece of it. So it really, this combination of taxes, the wealth tax, the income taxes, the capital gains taxes, really would just change the whole structure of how very rich people think about the tax code and how they plan for it and how they invest. And we're way too early in this whole process to even have a clear picture at all of how that would change their behavior. And it would also change based on, you know, each person, right? Someone who's 25 or 30 and has a lot of money might think differently than someone who's 70. Someone who's in a fast-growing business might think differently from someone who's inherited money. So there's just a lot of unknowns, both about what the proposal actually will be ultimately, and then also whether it passes, but then also how people would actually respond.
And there are other questions being raised as well regarding Warren's plan, but also other Democratic candidates' plans, and that's the potential impact on economic growth.
And we'll see. There's a study out this week that says that the wealth tax alone, not considering anything else, would reduce gross domestic product by 2030. And we'll just have to kind of see all these studies as they come in, and there'll be a lot of different studies, and then the plans will evolve. I mean, the Democrats' argument is that there are real economic and social benefits of the uses of the money, which would be expanding child care funding, expanding affordable housing, healthcare, education. So there's a number of things where Democrats would direct the money, and they say, no, look, that would make people better off, and that's worth it.
But don't economists come down on both sides of the issue of levying taxes on profits and capital gains and dividends?
I mean, I think the economic consensus would be that there's some effect from levying those taxes, that taxes have consequences. And then people just sort of vary about how big those effects are and then how much we should care about them relative to the other things that a policy is trying to do. So as we're just saying, if you have a policy that's really aimed at improving healthcare, maybe that's worth a policy on the tax side that disincentivizes investment, or maybe it's not. And I think at some point, you know, economists will try and estimate these things and give their best sense of what the trade-offs are. But the decision about whether this is really a good idea or not is going to come down to voters and policymakers weighing all of that and saying, okay, we see what the trade-offs are in terms of investment and benefits, and here's why it's worth it or why it's not.
All right. That's Wall Street Journal tax reporter Richard Rubin joining us from our Washington Bureau. Richard, thanks for coming on the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen in New York for the Wall Street Journal.